Cadillac Doc.
Doc.
Leave it to Steve Paulette. The Refreshments. I love that song. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Maybe I'll disrupt the storytelling for a second. We'll go to Gilbert and Van Nuys. You're on with Dr. Clapper. Thanks for holding on so long.
No worries. Thanks, Dr. Clapper. Big fan.
Thank you for listening. What do you do for a living, Gilbert?
I work in marketing for home improvements.
Really? My dad was a carpenter.
Nice.
His license technically was a home improvement contractor. That's what he loved to be called. But this comes from the same guy.
That's the kind of people I work for.
You know, in the old days, you had a car. Like my old Corvette, the 63 I have, you have a window on the side, right? You roll down because you want some air to come in. But in the old days, in 1963, you have this little triangular window, right? In addition to the main window on the side that rolled down. My father, you know what he called that window? He would say to me, I'd be in the passenger seat, Robbie, You should open up your no draft ventilator. He didn't say triangular window. He didn't say open the window in the car. He would call it a no draft ventilator. And I start cracking up. He goes, what's so funny? That's what it's called. And he said, it's unbelievable. You're a carpenter. Nope, I'm a home improvement contractor. Really? Last time I checked, you're a garbage man. You're not a trash collector. You're a garbage man. And be proud of it. Listen, we can't have a life unless people are picking up the garbage. But somehow, when you change the name, they don't call me a doctor anymore. You know what they call you? A provider. What the hell is that? I'm a doctor. She's a nurse. I'm a doctor. You're a physical therapist. We're all in the hospital. You're a provider. I hate that. Be what you are. So anyway, you are in marketing. You happen to be doing home improvements. I love it. And thanks for listening to the show, Gilbert. You like Clapper Vision? You like the food? What's your favorite part of the show?
Well, I've been listening to you since you were on the Mac Tenorman show on the weekend when I got to wake up early. You know, I plug into you and hear a lot of what you have to say.
Good. What's your favorite story?
Probably your donut story a little earlier today.
You better drive up to Ventura to Good Time Donuts and say hi to her. She owns the place. She's amazing. Her name is Sue. And go in there and go, I want to meet Sue. She's a celebrity. Now she is. And I want to have the same donut that Dr. Clapper has, and she'll get so excited. They may run out of them if I keep doing this, but I don't care.
I know, right?
So what'd you do to yourself, Gilbert? You hurt yourself.
Well, yeah, I hurt myself a long time ago, like 6 years ago. I was playing flag football, and I like hyperextended my knee.
Yes.
And, you know, at first I just thought it was a sprain. But I got an MRI. The doctor told me, like, there's a little tiny separation. But, you know, it shouldn't get much worse. But over time, I felt lingering pain, kind of like somebody pulling my top part of the leg and my bottom part of the leg, like, kind of apart. Mm. And it, like, hurts really bad for, like, a good 3 seconds. And then it, like, goes away. And I've had that lingering pain for a while now, but... I know, initially I didn't really think much of it because I was still able to, like, you know, play football, play basketball, you know, do physical stuff, you know, work out. So I didn't think much, like, of a tear or anything, but it's just, like, lingering pain that comes out of nowhere for, like, a few seconds and then goes away. Not sure, like, what that might be exactly.
Do you have the MRI that they took, these Schmendricks that told you that it's something, like what they told you doesn't make any sense to me. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't.
And how old is the study? How old is it?
Probably like 6 years ago.
Okay.
6 years ago.
Gilbert, so here's what has to happen. 6 years ago, I still had hair on my head, I think. A lot has changed since then, okay? Even though I was still doing the show. I can't believe I'm doing it for 9 years. I love it. You need, Gilbert, a new MRI. Forget the old one. You need a new one. Don't let them shoot you with cortisone or stem cells or any cockamamie needles. Be holistic. But information empowers us. Plain x-ray ain't going to be enough because you're 32 years old. I need you to get an MRI, and if they say you can't have one unless you get a second opinion, you just tell them you got one from who? Dr. Clapper. You need an MRI of your knee. You don't need dye injected. You just need a regular MRI. And then you have that piece of paper in front of you, and you'll read to me the impression, and I will translate it for you, and I'll tell you what to do. Okay? That's the next step here. You need a diagnosis, not some cockamamie thing where things are separate. I don't even know what the hell they're talking about. Is it your meniscus? Yeah. Is it your ligament? Do you have early arthritis? Is your patella the reason? There's like so many things I could describe. There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees. You should get a copy of the book. We give the money to the homeless. You at least, you know, that's the right thing to do with royalties of the book, in my opinion, but that's another story. You need to get this book. You need to read it. So when you do get the MRI, you'll understand even better what I'm telling you. But you need a new MRI, Gilbert. All right?
Definitely.
All right, young man. I look forward to helping you, really. And have a good day today.
Thank you, Dr. Clark.
All right. My pleasure, sir. God bless you. All right, Warriors. Let's get into today's topic. Although the number is 877-710-ESPN. At 7:15, I had a guest who called in. I thought New York City, but it sounds like New England, from York Footwear, which makes the most beautiful shoe and comfortable, and they've been around since 1946. Family owned, third generation, terrific. Family owned, American made, and it made me think all week how excited I was to talk to them. And you can listen to it on the podcast or Apple Podcast. You can listen to the show. But I wanted to know, where in art, where in sports, where in my world of surgery do you see an American ingenuity, imagination? And all those three worlds are together for me. So in sports, the 1992 Dream Team, USA Basketball, introducing the American game. James Naismith invented basketball to the world. Because up until then, USA, our Olympic team, was college kids playing against, you know what they do in Europe, you're a pro immediately. You don't go to school, they make you a basketball player immediately. So they were starting to beat us. And people like Magic Johnson and Charles Barkley said, okay, you want to play fair? Stop saying amateur. You guys are not amateurs. You're paying these guys. They're pros. You want to play fair? Then let the pros play your pros. And that's where the 1992 Dream Team came. Can you imagine Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson on the same team? They beat every team by 40 points. And then later, LeBron and Kobe made their own Dream Team. But that's not like the first. And that Dream Team inspired the world. People like Dirk Nowitzki and Tony Parker, these European players, they then came to the NBA and really had amazing careers here in the NBA. But that didn't happen until the American ingenuity in the game of basketball was introduced to the world. Listen to Magic Johnson being asked, so tell us about the Dream Team. Tell us about your Dream Team in 1992 versus the one Kobe and LeBron created.
Dream Team. It's been a lot of debate. No. Put an end to the discussion.
It's not really a debate.
There's no debate. Dream Team, the original Dream Team of 92 versus the Dream Team of 2012.
23 NBA championships, 11 Hall of Famers. A matchup against how many championships they have? What? Kobe got 5 and LeBron got 1. That's 6.
Yeah, he's mad. Listen to Magic Johnson going off.
They don't have an inside game. Patrick, David Robinson, Charles Barkley, and Karl Malone would dominate them. Then you can't stop Michael Jordan. This is not even a conversation, really. You know, and so it was wishful thinking of Kobe and LeBron, but they couldn't handle us because we can beat you too many different ways.
Exactly.
Their whole thing was built on threes. Once we take that away, just like Spain, close game, because they had the inside game. So if Gasol could dominate them, and he's great, our guys were really going to dominate them, right? I mean, it's just that way. I love them. They were exciting. This Dream Team was very exciting. They probably had more athletes than we had.
They were not as exciting as you guys.
No. We won by an average of 42, 44 points a game. They won by, 20-something. I mean, they're good. Kobe's great. LeBron's super.
But they in 92.
No.
The confidence, the competitive nature. This is what America is. American ingenuity. This is Graham Bensinger. I love this guy. You should check him out on YouTube. Interviewing the great Charles Barkley about being on that team and what this team meant to the world and meant to him personally.
I think it changed the world. Because some of these guys, I talked to them today, whether it's Ginobili, whether it's Dirk Nowitzki, you know, Tony Parker, you know, guys like that. They said it made them want to play basketball. I mean, so it was huge. I mean, it was huge from a worldwide standpoint. Because if you go back, we didn't have many European players, any foreign players in NBA back then. It all started after the 92 Dream Team. The thing that was unfair, because like we would watch, because we started losing in international competition because they were using pros and we were using college kids. And we'd see Sabonis and Drazen and all those guys just killing these college kids. I mean, like, those guys shouldn't be playing against college kids. They should be playing against us. But after that, they all started coming over here.
What did it mean to him personally?
Well, I think what happened was we realized that something amazing had just happened. And when they played the national anthem, it's one of the few times in my life I've gotten goosebumps. I mean, when they play that national anthem, they put that gold medal around your neck, it is one of the coolest things. Like, I tell people, man, it is surreal.
American ingenuity changed the world, the 1992 USA Olympic basketball team. What about in art? For me, the head of General Motors, after World War II, realizes, you know what? We're not making cars that are just the color black, four wheels and an engine to go from point A to point B. We look at the Jaguar XKE. We look at post-World War II Europe. They're making sports cars. We need to make an American sports car. His name was Sloan, the head of General Motors, and he's the one with the vision, the imagination, to not just have engineers make cars, but to actually bring artists. Whatever business you're in, I don't care if it's the taxi cab business, the surgery business, the plumbing business, you bring art into your world, you go to the next level. Steve Jobs did it in the computer business. Sloan brought artists to General Motors.
Sloan recognized that he wanted somebody who could help design these cars more than the engineers were doing. And up until that time, engineers were designing.
So there was a designer out here in Hollywood customizing cars that you'd buy four wheels and an engine from Detroit, and these movie stars got to put flamboyant bodies on top of the chassis. The man who was dreaming this up was an artist, and his name was Harley Earl. Sloan was smart enough to get a hold of him to come to Detroit.
Sloan persuaded the board to create a first, a design department, and asked Harley Earl to be its director. The art and color section under Earl's leadership quickly demonstrated that art and imagination had a role to play in auto manufacturing. Earl showed his designers how to use modeling clay to create softer and rounder shapes. He eliminated running boards, integrated the headlights into the car body, and introduced curved glass.
Curved glass. Can you imagine? They didn't have curved glass before. This is like the story of Walt Disney introducing animated films. These are visionaries. This is American ingenuity that all of us can be very proud of. Harley Earl.
Harley Earl had to develop the techniques for mass designing cars the way, say, Henry Ford developed the techniques for mass producing cars. And everyone else in the industry learned from him so that he became not just the dean, but more than that. I mean, he was the provost of the College of Car Design.
Amazing.
He thought it'd be a nice thing for the Americans to be able to offer college kids an inexpensive car, but still would look very sporty and racy and would appeal to these kids.
Earl and his design team got busy with a 1953 GM Motorama in mind. He gave his staff free rein, except they had to use stock GM mechanical components.
He dreamed up the first American sports car.
His personal styling favorite, the Jaguar XK120, inspired the designer's initial sketches. Earl quickly approved. Earl decided to use a relatively new, lightweight, and rust-free material for the show car's body, fiberglass. It gave the car something that the MGs and Jaguars didn't have. But he didn't know if Chevrolet would approve fiberglass for a production model, or whether it would work.
It wasn't that it just made the car lighter so it could go faster. It's because he can make those shapes you can make in clay. You couldn't do it with sheet metal, but you could do it with fiberglass. A genius idea, Harley Earl. Where did the name Corvette come from? Remember, this is after World War II. This is making car a sports car for the vets coming back from World War II after seeing the British make the Jaguar XKE. Love this.
The idea was first to show it as a Motorama show car, and then to try to talk Chevrolet into building this car.
The project was approved for the upcoming Motorama, but the car still needed a name. 300 were considered before an employee in the Chevrolet PR department suggested the name of a fast Navy ship, the Corvette.
But like everything else, great idea launches, like Seinfeld, the show, the TV show. The ratings were terrible. Initially, not so good. The Motorama, they did great, but not a lot of people bought the car, and they were actually going to get rid of the Corvette in 1955. But a part of American ingenuity, just like you hear Magic Johnson talking about American ingenuity for the 1992 Dream Team, the competitive nature. Now we were better than Kobe and LeBron. You need that. Ford Motor Company, their competition at General Motors, came up with the Thunderbird. Ah, that was what reignited the passion to make the Corvette come into fruition.
But in 1955, Ford inadvertently offered the Corvette a reprieve. Ford introduced its new roadster, the Thunderbird. Thanks to the fierce competition between Ford and GM, the Corvette would be given another chance. But the Corvette would have to change to compete. While it had been styling's baby, now engineering would have to come to the rescue.
It's just like architecture, which I love. You know what architecture is? I love this term. Frozen music. Think about it. Architecture is frozen music. That's exactly what you need in architecture. You need form. It needs to be pretty. It needs to look good. The Disney Hall downtown. The Empire State Building. But it needs function. You need both. You can't just have a car that looks good that doesn't have power. So initially, it was just four wheels, a black car on a chassis. Then the design, the artist came. But then you really needed, if it's a sports car, you need the power. And part of American ingenuity is to recognize that we're all Americans, even if we're immigrants. So they went and found the best engineer to make a powerful car. And he came from Russia. His name was Duntov. And he's the father of the Corvette Stingray that I drive. I want you to hear his voice. Even though his English is broken, this is not only the visionary, but this is the man who knows how to get the power in an engine. His name was Duntov. You got to hear his voice.
The fundamental trouble with this car was it was a styling car.
Power and performance were Duntov's life.
Duntov made the Corvette, and now they're launching the 2020 where they put the engine in the middle of the car. Changing again the great American sports car. Fantastic, and makes you proud to be an American, where the ingenuity and imagination in every walk of life, we are at the forefront. All right, coming up next, well, clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. I got to tell you where the best roast beef sandwich is in L.A., and I got to tell you what I saw in the operating room. This week, I did lots and lots of knee surgeries, and a lot of knee replacements on people when they were young had their meniscus removed. That's not a good idea, and I'll explain more. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What's her name, Steve Paulette? Kathy Mateo. She says Chevelle. Mateo. Chevy Chevelle. A piece of Chevelle. The number's 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Carlos in San Diego. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, I just called about my daughter. She's 14. On November 1st, she dislocated her right knee patella.
Okay.
And she's at soccer practice. It was a non-contact.
Mm-hmm.
Had the MRI, everything came out pretty good. She took a couple months off. She started playing again, I would say like January 15th. And then I would say last week she looked at me while she was playing. She pointed to her knee, and she said she felt it wobble again.
Mm.
I'm just concerned that it might pop out again.
Yep, so, you should be. So you have to think about a few things when a kneecap dislocates. And here's the very important thing, Carlos. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's nothing like a father's love for their daughter, right? There's a great expression. I don't know how to say it in Yiddish, but it says, a son is your son till he takes a wife, but your daughter's your daughter for the rest of your life. What a special thing. I mean, I can relate to what you have there. So your life don't matter anymore. It's her life. You know what I mean? You got thick skin, Carlos. I could take a pistol and shoot you. It would bounce off because your chest is like Kevlar. But if your daughter comes home with an ear infection, you don't even want to move because you feel so bad, right? Nothing can happen to that. So I appreciate your care and your love and your feelings for your daughter right now. So let me teach you a little bit. You listen to the show in San Diego?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. What's your favorite story?
Just you about talking about knees. I have knee issues. Also, I had two partial knee replacements.
Okay.
I'm really intrigued every time you're on stuff.
What do you do for a living?
I work construction.
Nice. What did my father used to say when he was using a hammer? Don't hit the wrong nail. Don't hit the wrong nail, Carlos.
All right.
All right. The idea of a kneecap is what we call multifactorial. First of all, why did God give us a kneecap? He gave us a kneecap because we got to fight gravity. We got to stand up. And just having your muscle contract, people who don't have a kneecap because it's been removed surgically, it's rare for someone not to be born with one. But if the doctors in the past, which they love doing, taking your kneecap out, it is difficult to walk around because the quadricep muscle can only do so much. You need a mechanical advantage. So you're in construction. If I ask you, Carlos, you're big and strong. Can you lift the refrigerator in your kitchen? You would go, hell no. It weighs 300 pounds. I can't lift 300 pounds. But I said, I'll give you a $5,000 if you can lift your, no matter how you do it, Carlos, can you lift the refrigerator? You'd go into your truck. You'd take out a crowbar, which is a piece of metal, and maybe you'd take a little piece of 2x4 or even a broomstick. You put the 2x4 in front of the refrigerator, and elegantly, you stick the broom handle or the crowbar over the 2x4 on the floor underneath the refrigerator, and with one hand, and you're strong, Carlos, one finger, you push down on that crowbar or that broomstick with the fulcrum there, right, the 2x4, and whoop, you can lift, and you get $500 from me because you can lift the refrigerator, whereas with your hands alone, you can't. That 2x4 is what's known as a mechanical advantage. It's a block that allows you to get leverage out of the crowbar and out of the broom handle. Capiche?
Yes, sir.
So if you have a muscle that goes in the front of your thigh, from your pelvis, from your hip, and those four muscles, and I don't care that there's four of them, those four muscles, and they go right to your tibial tubercle, your shin bone, and there's no kneecap, I don't care if you're Lou Ferrigno, which shows how old I am because no one knows who that is anymore. Well, except people should because he was the Hulk. He was amazing. But even if you're that strong, you can't lift, you can't stand up. You don't have the mechanical advantage to lift up a 200-pound guy. But what God does to us is he puts inside the tendon a little 2x4. It's called a sesamoid bone. And that is what your kneecap is. It's a little 2x4 in front of the refrigerator. That's a clapper vision for you. And that is the mechanical advantage that allows you to lift the refrigerator, that allows you to stand up and straighten your knee with ease, just like with one finger you can lift the refrigerator. A sesamoid bone, that's your kneecap. Now, if you feel right now, you're driving, you're sitting, feel the front of your knee right now. You will feel what feels like a flat surface. Everybody thinks their kneecap is like an Oreo cookie or like a casino poker chip, flat, because you feel it under your skin that it's flat. As a surgeon, I'm here to tell you, when you go inside the knee, which I've done thousands and thousands of times over 31 years, guess what you see? You don't see a flat cartilage surface on the backside of your kneecap. No. You see the Santa Monica Mountains. You see a mountain ridge. There's a ridge down the center of your kneecap. That's the male side of the joint. The female side of the joint is the thigh bone, the femur. the femur's your thigh bone, and in the knee joint, to accommodate that Santa Monica mountain range, that ridge down the center, is a female side, a valley. It's a groove. It's almost like the Sepulveda Pass with the mountains on both sides. It's a valley, and that is called the trochlea. Now, you need the ridge, the mountain, to be high enough, and you need the valley to be low enough because that locks your kneecap to stay true, to stay wedged down the center like a train on a track. That's how it's built. Now, as they said on Batman, favorite TV show other than Get Smart, riddle me this, Batman. What would happen if when you are being built, your daughter is developing in the mother's womb and the kneecap is being created, that you didn't make a tall ridge, a tall mountain? Or what if the valley was barely a valley? It was sand dunes and not a real valley. Then your kneecap doesn't have the ability mechanically to stay in the groove. So, and by the way, what I've just long-winded described is only one reason in this multifactorial reason for kneecaps to dislocate. A shallow trochlea is one thing that we see. Where,
yeah,
the, where the patella tendon, where does it actually attach on the tubercle? Is it too far off to the side? There's another reason for it. Girls versus boys, their pelvises are wider to allow for carrying a baby versus a man. So if their pelvises are wider, then their quadriceps come from a wider angle to get to the kneecap. So we call that valgus, that the knock-kneed of the knee and its relationship to the pelvis is another factor. What about being loose-jointed? Some people, you take the back of your thumb, you can touch your forearm. Other people like me, it's stiff. If you're very loosey-goosey, you're also going to have a problem. So here's what I want you to do. You got the MRI already. You're going to need to see in San Diego. You don't have to schlep all the way up to Los Angeles, although you can come to Cedars, that's fine. But you're going to need someone who I want that deals with kids, a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, and their specialty, and you can write this down, is MPFL. That's a fancy word for the ligament that helps keep the kneecap in place. She's already tried rest, scar, and all the rest of it. She may need a little help with keeping it in place. Pediatric orthopedic surgeon, MPFL. And you're more than welcome to check with them and then call me back, and I'll tell you if you're on the right track, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Carlos, I just helped you with your daughter. I want you to do me a favor. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right, God bless you. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to 710-ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Love this song. Stingrays and XKEs. That's the American sports car versus the British design Jaguar XKE. And then came Shelby Cobra. Don't miss that movie, Ford versus Ferrari. That was so fantastic. But yeah, that's American ingenuity right there. And that's what that movie is all about. Beating Ferrari. $60,000 for a brand new Corvette. They're not going to be able to make enough of them. How many people are going to want that car? Not me, though. I'm a traditionalist. I'm sticking with my traditional Corvette. All right. Let's go to John in L.A. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help? You better shut your radio off. You there? Okay. Can't shoulder the pain now. Let's go to John, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What do you do for a living, John? Well, I can't.
Hello, Doc.
Hi, John. What do you do for a living?
I'm a doc.
You are? Get out of here.
Yeah.
What kind of doctor?
OBGYN.
Wow. My first
deliver them babies.
I was a third-year medical student, Columbia, New York. Mrs. Rodriguez, one of the sweetest Puerto Rican lady I've ever met. She had 11 kids. I'm now there to deliver the 12th. Big City House, St. Luke's Roosevelt. I don't know where the attending was. I don't know anything. I'm a third-year student. They go, thank God Dr. Clapper's here. I'm going, I'm not even a doctor yet. Yeah, go in that room and deliver the baby. I go into this room. This woman, sweet as can be, 11 kids, about to have the 12th. She's in the stirrups already because she's about to blow. I sit down. I'm sweating. I can't believe I'm going to deliver a baby. My hat is on sideways. I'm sweating. And this lovely lady picks her head up over the stirrups to look down at me down below and says, "Don't worry, Dr. Clapper. You're going to do just fine." She's reassuring me to deliver her baby. It's fantastic. She pushed.
She delivered more than you did.
That's right. Puja más fuerte. That's what I learned how to say. And boom, next thing you know, I had a crying baby in my arms. It was fantastic. I'll never forget that moment. And how many babies have you delivered over the years?
2,500.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Good for you. All right. How can I help you?
So I've been having shoulder pain. My right shoulder has been killing me. Mm-hmm. I tried resting. It's been about a year, and I rested it for about a few months,
mm-hmm.
Really not doing much of anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple months ago, I decided just to throw a tennis ball while I was in the pool,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like it's going to break.
There you go.
So I went and saw, I mean, it's not just when I'm throwing. If I'm standing to my side and
right.
I try to abduct it or pull it off to the side.
Right.
It's incredibly painful, and then I can't even get it past level with the ground before it starts to really hurt. I can't even do that anymore. So, young man, you're
dealing with rotator cuff, and it's on fire. It's like the poor Australia where the whole country's burning up. If I were to look inside your shoulder, you got a forest fire inside your shoulder. That's why it hurts so much. So it all emanates from, because you're so young, you're 42, it's part related to how the shape of the bones are and how there needs to be enough space for the tendon. 15% of us are born with an acromion that tilts downwards, so you don't really need a big spur. It's related to the work that you're doing. It's related to the exercise that you're doing. Do not let them stick dye in the joint. You just need a simple MRI. You had the MRI already?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Do you have it in front of you? Do you have the impression? Read me the impression.
The impression is that there is inflammation at the AC joint.
No. Read it exactly. Do you have it in front of you or no?
No, I don't have the exact report in front of me. I have the log on.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I can translate it for you. But AC joint is one thing. And yes, that can be the cause of the impingement. As the two bones come together, there's a spur that dips down, kind of like in a cave. They have those stalactites or an icicle coming down. That's what a bone spur looks like. That's what the degenerative changes look like. But that ain't the reason for this nonstop pain. It's not necessarily the bone spur. It's what it's doing to the structure that's below it, and that is your rotator cuff.
So they took the comment on all of the rotator cuff tendons is that they're all intact. There's no partial or full thickness tears on
right.
any of the tendons.
Good. That's good for you. That means you don't need stitches. But don't let them shoot you with cortisone. Don't let them put PRP or other cockamamie needles into your shoulder. You always want to try to avoid surgery first. I'm an orthopedic surgeon telling you that because I believe it in my heart. You want to always try to avoid surgery first. I hate pills. I hate the shots. I love exercise. Think of it this way. You have a blister. Can you make it into a callus? Do a month worth of good physical therapy. If it still hurts, to put a jacket on, put your seatbelt on, to sleep on it. If it hurts after a month of trying to get it better with therapy, then you will need an elegant, and I mean elegant, I got patients go back to work the next day, cleaning away the spur, an arthroscopy. If it's done well, takes you half an hour, 45 minutes, you go home with a sling, you take the sling off. That's what you should do, and don't fool around with it. And it's not in danger of anything. That's the beauty of the MRI. But you must try a good, and I don't mean just going to therapy, a really good physical therapist. Where do you live?
I live over in Marina Del Rey.
You got some good physical therapists there in Santa Monica and Marina Del Rey where you can go to and really get treated properly. But Shakespeare said it best, John, to thine own self be true, he said. Be honest with yourself. If a month goes by and that shoulder doesn't feel like the asymptomatic other shoulder, that's enough. Then you need to go get it taken care of. All right?
Now, quick question for you, Doc. I had a colleague at work look at it and said he thinks it's biceps tendonitis.
Then why is the AC joint involved? that you just described. So you know what? There was a great Woody Allen movie where he went to like a party and everybody he talked to had the same kind of symptoms. So why go to the doctor? You can talk to lots of people. So don't. I don't think that's what it is.
All right.
All right, so go to therapy. Biceps tendonitis could be treated with that as well, but get some therapy. If it's not better, then you need a real opinion, a real visit with somebody who knows what they're doing. You're not that far from Cedars. You can come to Cedars. That's up to you. All right?
Fantastic, Doc. Thanks so much.
All right, John. God bless you. Keep delivering the babies. All right, we'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. And coming up next, I'm going to tell you where the roast beef is sliced so thin and so beautiful, it melts in your mouth like butter. And by the way, you love the show? Steve Paulette created a Facebook page. Oh, my God. But I got a face for radio. A Weekend Warrior Facebook page. I'm sure it's going to crack the glass when it puts my face on the Facebook page. The Weekend Warrior Facebook page with Steve Paulette. I can't wait to see it. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior show here on 710 ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. All right, I'm going to reveal where the roast beef is like butter. It's rare. I'm not even a rare kind of meat guy, but it's rare. Delicious. And they slice it as thin you can see right through it. Now, normally you'd have a sandwich on rye bread or a roll. Oh, no. You want to have the best sandwich of roast beef in your life? You have it on challah, egg bread. Where are you going to get challah? And egg bread and yellow, not, what's that yellow mustard, everybody, with an F? French, no. You want Jewish deli mustard, Hebrew National or something like that. You want this deli mustard, some lettuce, and this rare paper-thin sliced roast beef on challah, on egg bread. My mouth is where I can't even talk. You take a bite. It just starts melting like an M&M. It's a roast beef M&M. That's basically what you're getting. And I got this sandwich after I moved my boat in Ventura with a shout out to Pacific Marine. Alan, they're taking care of my boat. Jews in boats. They should write a whole book about this. We have no idea. I have to actually back up the trailer. Do you know how hard it is for a Jewish guy to back up a trailer where everything's opposite? Oy vey. But I did it. And I delivered my boat. It's being serviced at Pacific Marine in Ventura. But on the way back, I had this craving for this roast beef sandwich because I knew I was going to drive by the place in Westlake. It's on the 23 South Townsgate or whatever, Brent's Deli. Not the one in Northridge, although it's probably good there too because it's the same Brent's. But man, it was... I didn't chew the meat. It just melted in my mouth.
Back the clapper.
That's where you get the best roast beef sandwich in Los Angeles, is in Westlake at Brent's Deli. Madom. All right, quickly, let's go to David and Tarzana. I'll take a call before I tell you what we're going to do next week. David, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapper. I was just calling. I've been having this knee ache lately. I've dropped 40 pounds.
What do you do for a living?
I'm actually studying to be a special ed teacher.
Ah, God bless you. Keep it up. Thanks. We need you. We need you in society. Don't let them tell you you can't do it, David. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's been a struggle, but I'm getting there, man.
All right, cool. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, so keep at it. And I'm here to help you stay healthy. So what did you do to your knee?
So I've been on a weight loss journey right now, and for the last week or so, I've been getting this knee ache. I do the elliptical hard, and I started flipping the tire just to get some new routines in. And now when I lift my knee above my waist and extend my leg, I get this pain right, like kind of below the kneecap. And that's where the issue's been.
Well, 36 years old, there's a lot of weight, even though you're losing it, there's a lot of weight and force that goes through the cartilage in the back of the kneecap. Don't let them stick needles or cortisone or stem cells or other, no needles into your knee, please. You need to, number one, delete whatever your knee don't like. So lunges, squats, stair machines, weights, no treadmill. Delete the bad exercise for you and increase the nurturing one, the pool, the bike, the elliptical. There's a book I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees. Read that book. If this does not get better, what is it now? The end of January, by deleting the bad stuff and increasing the good stuff, and it's outlined in the book as well, then you need to get an MRI. But I suspect you'll feel better by deleting the bad and increasing the good stuff. But if it gets to be, I don't know, end of March, and your knee still hurts, I need you to be examined. I need you to get an MRI to get a diagnosis, and then you can call here, and I'll reveal what the answer is in not only plain English, with clapper vision. You know what that is, David? You listen to the show?
I do. Not so much the show. Back in the day, when you were on Kellerman a lot, I used to listen to you more.
We miss Max Kellerman? I hear that First Take may be coming on the radio, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you actually used to do business with my father 30 years ago.
Really? Do business with your dad. That sounds so biblical. I love that. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, David, it's a pleasure to take care of you, even if it's through the radio. So get an MRI if it's not better, but do what I say, more bike, elliptical, pool, and get rid of the other stuff, delete it. And until then, I'll see you guys on the radio, and thanks for joining me on this ride this Saturday on the Weekend Warrior Show. I leave you with Volare.